pray for the conference. And writes this about, he says, this is the record. He writes, declared the Apostle John, and this is the sum and the substance of all that is written and preached. God, out of His pure, free grace, is pleased to give unto us eternal life. This life is the spiritual life lost in the fall. Life forever free from sin, sorrow, and death. This life is in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This life is not only purposed in Him, promised through Him, and purchased by Him, but He is that life. Colossians 3:4. He that has the redeeming Christ, the interceding Christ, the indwelling Christ, has life. Amen. I'd like to ask you to turn over to the book of Peter. 1 Peter. I struggled with the message this week for you, to be honest with you. It's kind of strange because I've had 4 days off. And during those 4 days, I thought about things, but I didn't sit down once and study. It's not that I didn't have time. I had plenty of time. I don't know, it was just something I struggled to do. I got up this morning, and I was thinking about that as a message, and I may bring that message one day, but for some reason I just could not put it into words. And so look at the front of our bulletin if you would. Before I say next what I want to say, I want you to read this with me. This is in Romans. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Kathy was busy about her way this morning getting things ready, and I was sitting there at the table and I just didn't know what to do. And she looked over at me and she says, what's wrong? She could tell there was something wrong looking at me, and I just said, I got nothing. It's not coming together. God has been providing me every Sunday with something to say for 2 years now. And I got up this morning and it just did not come. Did I do something wrong? No. No. I was slothful, yes. I could have studied more, I could have looked more into what I was thinking to preach on. But God's will is always accomplished. We preach about a Lord who is Lord. Do we not? Are not the Scriptures words of encouragement about who that Lord is, what He's done, and where He is right now? As Lord of all. No, our Lord didn't want me to preach that message. That's why I struggled with it. I'll save it for another day. Maybe He'll bless it some other time. So what does Kathy tell me to do? She says, John, Gene's been in that situation before. Pick some scripture and read it. So I turned to the book of Peter. I don't know how far we're going to get, but I'm going to begin at the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1, verse 1, and we're going to read. And Lord willing, I'll have a few words to say as we go. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to stop right there and start saying something already. Our Bible study that we're doing on Sunday mornings, we're on our 79th lesson this morning. We'll be doing number 80 next week. That's 80 weeks of this study that we've been following along from Peter, from where he started as an apostle, where he was called by the seashore, and how the Lord took him through each and all the steps that he had to go through till he got to this point where he declares himself an apostle of Jesus Christ. To the strangers, to God's people who are scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And then he goes on in verse 2 and he declares them the elect. These strangers who are scattered out all over the place, elect, those who are called according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. God the Father chose His children before the world ever was. He calls them my people. He calls you, those that He has called out of darkness. He says, you're my people. We are children of God. Not by anything that we have done, not by any action that we may do in the flesh, but by the actions of our Lord and Savior. He's the one who has made us and adopted us into the family of God. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, we were chosen in Christ. You know, Christ is the high priest. He's our high priest. He's the one who makes intercession for us right now in heaven, is he not? This high priest, in the old days, the high priest of Israel, they would put on this plate on their chest. And on that plate was the inscription of all the tribes of Israel. That's a picture of Christ, our high priest, and all of his people written on his chest. It says in Scripture that our names were inscribed in the palms of his hand. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through how? Not through the works of man, but through the sanctification of the Spirit. The holiness. Through being made holy. I know, that's hard for us to understand, isn't it? It's really hard for me to understand. I won't even share with you the conversation that we were having around the fellowship table earlier this morning, but it had to do with a monkey and, well, okay, I'll leave it at that. Mike can tell you later. It's his fault. He's the one who bought it for his grandchild. See how quickly I blamed you on that, Mike? Oh. No, our being made holy is through the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, He who was made sin for us, that we would be made righteous in Him. Through the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, sprinkling of His blood on the mercy seat. Grace unto you. Oh, here it is, folks. This is to you and I. This is to all of God's elect throughout all time. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. And after Peter makes his introduction according to who he is, who the elect are, who it is that he's addressing, telling us, praying for us that grace and peace be multiplied unto us, he said, blessed be, in verse 3, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What is it we read there? What was it we read on that in from Romans? Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of scriptures. Oh, how I pray the scriptures this morning will bring peace and comfort unto you. It did me. I felt lost this morning, so lost, sitting there at my computer wondering, what am I going to say about this? Where am I going to take this? And the Lord just opened the door and said, here it is, John. Just read scriptures. And we have hope through scriptures. A lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know why we have that lively hope? By His resurrection, because as God Almighty, death could not hold Him. He must come to this world and become flesh that He could die. God the Spirit can't die. But God the Son could. Aren't you thankful? Oh, our lively hope is in the resurrection of our Savior Christ Jesus from the dead, because knowing that He died for our sins, knowing that He took our sins into that grave and left them there, that He bore our iniquities upon His flesh, and that being resurrected, He left those sins right there where they were in the grave. Our God looks upon us as though we have never sinned. Blessed to be to this God and Father of our Lord and Savior, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to an inheritance. An inheritance. People don't earn an inheritance. I go out and work all my life. I'm about to retire. I've earned my retirement. But when my parents pass away, what I get is what they worked for. You ever take that into consideration about an inheritance? This is an inheritance. This life everlasting. These treasures of the Spirit. Oh, what a treasure it is and how precious it is, brother. It's an inheritance, though. We cannot earn it for ourselves. Incorruptible. I don't know about you, but anything I lay my hands on gets corrupted. Incorruptible. It cannot decay is what that means. Undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you and I. This is the gospel. This is the good news for sinners. Christ came to save sinners, and because He came to save sinners, we have an incorruptible inheritance that will never fade away. We will spend an eternity with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. People ask or make comments about, you know, I wonder what's in heaven. I wonder what heaven will be like. Bill and I, we have some pretty wild conversations at times, and I remember once we were talking about that very thing, and we both looked at each other and said, do you think our Harleys will leak oil when we're there? What silliness. I know mine won't. A perfect inheritance that is uncorruptible and undefiled, and it's reserved in heaven for you and I. Verse 5. You and I who are kept, who are guarded, as that word means. Fenced around, hedged up, kept by something we have done? Is that what it says? No. No. Salvation is of the Lord, every bit of it. Kept by the power of God. Through faith. Through belief in our Lord and Jesus Christ, who Whosoever believeth in him shall have everlasting life. We are kept by the power of God through belief in our Lord and Savior unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein? Whoo, here it comes. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Oh, we're just here as a vapor in the wind, folks. Flowers come up and bloom. Well, in my case, stinkweed comes up and blooms. That's the best. But it also withers away. We greatly rejoice knowing that it is by God's grace in this season that we have as we walk through this world. Look at the last half of verse 6. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. As we walk through this world facing the sins of this flesh that are ever before us, we greatly rejoice that our salvation is in the Lord and in the Lord alone. The trials of our faith, as it says in verse 7, being much more precious than the gold that perishes through it being tried with fire, that it might be found unto the praise and the honor of glory. Do you know all these trials that we go through? You know why Paul said he could rejoice in his trials? Trials are when we were the weakest. When we're dealing with troubles in our lives, when something is putting pressure on us, whether it be the government around us, the world around us, or maybe if it's even something inside. You ever had that inside of you where, oh, why am I doing that? Why am I thinking those thoughts? Why am I not trusting in my Lord? Because that's how our Lord brings us to trust Him. He delivers us right through the trial and out the other side. And even if that trial takes us unto death, where are we delivered to from there? We're delivered to heaven, receiving our inheritance in full. We're reading in the book of Going Home by Don Fortner on our Friday night Bible study. And oh, what a blessing it has been. I understand what Pastor Gene says, I can't wait to go home. And I'm 20 years behind him, at least. I understand where some of those who are older than me can't wait to get there. Lamar Garner, can't wait to get there. It's right around the corner. And put all these trials and stuff that we have behind us and spend eternity with our Lord and Savior. These trials being tried with fire might be found under the praise and the honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We're going to get down on our hands and knees and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that stuff that I had to go through. Because all that you brought me through during my life brought me to you. It drawed me. I don't know about you folks, but when I came here the first time, I wasn't considering suicide, but it was probably the next thing closest to it. I did not want to live. I came here to cry on my brother's shoulder. My older brother Lee, a man I love so much. He was always there when I needed him, and I needed him that day. And he said, John, come in and sit down, and we'll talk about it after church. And that was all I ever said to him at that point, from that point on. I just sat here, and when I was done hearing what the Lord had laid on that man's heart to preach, my life had changed. You talk about a trial that drew somebody to Christ. That was a trial that I am thankful for. I am thankful the Lord brought me through that. Because that brought me here. I could still be out there wandering around, living in the world of John, doing the things that John wanted to do. Now I live for my Lord and Savior. to praise Him, to thank Him, to look to Him, to ask Him, Lord, what would you have me say this morning? Lord, what would you have me do today? Giving honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, whom having not seen, ye love him. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Do you know that Scripture has been declaring the Lord Jesus Christ to suffer from the beginning of time? There are many who have gone into the Old Testament when the Lord created lightness and darkness. When the Lord created the earth and are able to bring out Christ in those words. I'm not able to do that, but I can tell you this. The very first blood shed in Scripture was a picture of Christ for you and I. The very first blood was shed to cover the sins of Adam and his wife Eve. God took the skins of an animal and covered them. But don't forget, the first part of that story was they tried to cover themselves, which didn't work. They were still naked before God. Our Lord has been portrayed throughout Scripture. Verse 12, unto whom it was revealed unto them, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, because of those things, because of what the Apostle Peter just wrote, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversations, all manner of living, all manner of walk. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time, for your sojourning here is near. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Our Lord knew no sin, folks. He was made sin, yes. But you can never call him a sinner. He never sinned. Only a sinner can sin. Don't ask me how to explain that. I don't know. There are those much smarter than I that have been trying for years and can't do much better than what I just did. But I know this. My Lord is perfect in every way. He is holy in every way. And because He is holy, I wish to be holy. I know there's a day coming when I will be perfectly as holy as He is. But until then, I rely on Him. I count on Him. And if you call, in verse 17, on the Father, who without respect of person judges according to whoever man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation that you received from tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Did you notice that it didn't say purifying your souls through the flesh? That's kind of interesting, isn't it? The world is out there telling you, you've got to do this in the flesh, you've got to do that in the flesh. If you don't do this and you don't do that, you're not saved. This is talk about purifying your souls. How do you do that? Whosoever believeth in him. Where was I? 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in the obeying of the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Do you see how the Word of God brings us hope? Verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now all that was said, wherefore, because of all that we just read, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire milk, desire the milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Remember what we read last week, how our Lord was not comely in any way. Men did not seek him as they do this baby in the manger. Rejected of men, but chosen of God and precious, as it says in verse 4. Verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up in spirit in a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Aren't you thankful that he's the head of our corner, holding us up, keeping us together, hedging us about? Verse 8, and a stone of stumbling. What? And a stone of stumbling. What? We were talking about that this morning. The gospel including the depravity of man is absolute foolishness to the world. What do you mean I'm dead in trespasses and sin? I go out and do good stuff. I've never lied. I've never done this. You know, there was a rich man who came to the Lord and he says, I've done all that stuff that you told me to do. I feed the poor. I do this and do that. And the Lord still had one more thing for him. He says, okay, give all that you have away. And the guy left sadly because everything, he didn't want to give everything away. Christ and his sovereignty over all that is, including the will of men, is a complete stumbling stone to those who walk in this world thinking that they're alive, thinking that they have a righteousness of their own, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. They were appointed? Really? Is that what the scripture says? That's what it says. They were appointed. Foreordained. Hold your place here for a moment. Turn over to the book of Jude. Just a couple of pages to the right. The book right before Revelation. Look at verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now here's why. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained. There's that word again, ordained. To this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what free will does. That's what teaching free will does. It takes the grace of God out of it. It's no longer the grace of God that saves man. It's man who saves man. If it's your free will and you have to make a decision, then you've taken away the grace of God. Is that not correct? Back in our text. Being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed, but ye are a chosen generation. Verse 9. A royal priesthood. And holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's exactly what our Lord did for Lazarus the day Lazarus lay dead in the tomb. 4 days, most assuredly, beginning to rot and smell, yet the Lord had him roll the stone away and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Come forth. He was called out of the darkness that he was in, a picture of every one of God's children as we walk through this world until the day that we hear his gospel preached for the first time and he calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Verse 10, which in time past even were not a people, but are now the people of God. Which hath not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Peter goes on to close this with this. Dearly beloved, brothers and sisters, the very elect that he just praised our Lord and Savior for all that he had done us for. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which are war against the soul. Abstain from those things which take your mind off of Christ and put them on your flesh. Abstain from the things of counting on what you can do and start counting on what the Lord can do. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works which shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as the supreme. And you can put anything in that, by the way, folks. Including president. Including governor. Including boss. Supervisor. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be of the king as a supreme, or unto governors, or unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God We'll keep going. We got another few minutes. For so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put the silence of ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. For this is thanksworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable of God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself unto him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For ye were sheep as going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. It's my prayer, folks, that the Lord may have spoke to you through those, because I know that mine was nothing more than stumbling. And to be quite honest with you, isn't that what we all need? Is our Lord to speak to us through his word? His word is the word of life. Not John's. His word is the word of life. And I pray that the Lord was gracious to each and every one of you this morning as we read his word. Would you stand?